You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now, when they, that is the wise men, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went there and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we come near to the year 2019, we think about the topic of plans. And God had a lot of plans even before the creation of the world. So I want to begin the sermon today by trying to think about God the Father. And he's sitting down, if you will, and he's saying, I'm going to plan out some key things for the next 4,000 years. So maybe he could have said something like this in making a list of some key things he would do. He said, right after the people fall into sin, I know what I'll do. I'm going to promise to send my son in order to be their savior. Since I know that I won't send my son for quite a long period of time, I'm going to keep things on track during that long period of time with the angel of the Lord. He's going to help keep the people on track. And then, here's what I'll do. Hundreds of years before my son is even born, I'm going to tell the people exactly where he will be born, in Bethlehem. And then I'm going to promise that my son's going to enter the world in a miraculous way. He's going to be born of a virgin. And then when he finally is born, I'm going to announce his birth, and I'm going to do it by an angel, and I'm going to do it to shepherds. It'll be such an unusual thing. And then God said, when my son is 40 days old, I know his parents are going to take him to the temple in Jerusalem, and when he is there, I'm going to move a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna to speak up and to say some very amazing things about this child. And then, months after he is born, I'm going to move some wise men far in the east to make a very long journey. I'm going to guide them where they're going, and I'm going to lead them to my son, who's going to be still very young at that time, and they're going to bring him special gifts. So God planned it all out and much, much, much more. And then what did he do? He brought it all to fulfillment. Where are we now then in the text? All that I've just spoken, all of that has already occurred. Now the wise men have just left, and now we pick up with our text today, and it says, now, when they had departed, talking here about the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod, that is Herod the Great, is about to search for the child to destroy him. You probably remember what happened in the earlier part here that I did not read earlier in chapter 2. That's where the wise men, they show up in Jerusalem. They're looking for the newborn king. So Herod is very clever. He tries to welcome them. He tries to get help from them. He says, oh, guys, that's great. I'm glad you're looking for him. Go there. He's in Bethlehem. When you find him, worship him. Come back and tell me. And then I want to go and worship him too. So Herod had it all figured out. But that's not what happened, is it? We'll come to more of that in a moment. But as we think about this, so let's keep in mind that the timing was not right for the Son of God to die. The timing was not right. When we think about timing, here we are at the end of this year, soon to step into a new year. What about timing in your life? Timing in my life? Is it time to take action now? Or is it time to wait? God wants us to think about things in our own lives, and he wants us to seek and follow his will every step of the way. Thinking about their journey then, we come to another part of God's plan, because God's plan was to get his son out of Judea and into Egypt. The Bible says, Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, as recorded in Hosea chapter 11, out of Egypt I called my son. So the father had his plan. He used Joseph. He communicated to Joseph with an angel. And what did Joseph do? Without hesitation, he got up, probably in the very middle of the night. He took the child, he took Mary, he took the gifts that the wise men had brought, and they left town. Probably very secretly, probably very quietly. Very convenient that they could leave Bethlehem and be right on a road leading to Egypt. Now keep in mind, from where Bethlehem is, and then thinking about the border where they would enter into Egypt, they would have had to travel at least 40 miles in order to be able to get out of the jurisdiction of Herod. We don't know how much further they traveled, maybe even way beyond the border, but they had to go at least that far. Think about the command to Joseph. Think about how right away he followed it. He didn't say, well, God, let me think on this one. I'll wait till I get up and then we'll go. Right away, as soon as he got the command, he took off, he left. What about us? Are we being nudged by God in some particular way? Are we being like Joseph, or maybe more like Adam and Eve? God wants us again to think about these things. And then going on to another part here, let's keep in mind that God has made literally thousands of promises, and thousands of them he has brought to fulfillment, and yet there are some more to be brought to fulfillment too with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we proceed through our text here, we're going to see the fulfillment of some particular ones. Going on to verse 16 of our text, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked," what does that mean, he'd been tricked? He felt like the wise men had made a fool out of him. Here he is the king. He told them what to do. Go there, find him, worship him, report back to me. When you're the king, you expect people to do what you tell them to do. And they basically agreed to do that. At least the Bible seems to read in that way. But yet they didn't do it. Herod felt like a fool. So it says he became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. It seems odd that Herod, an old man, was threatened by a newborn king. But that's the kind of a person he was, though. Many things could be said about him, but I think we could say both his fear of the newborn king and also his anger that the wise men did not come back, that led him to order the killing. Now again, when we think about what happened, it's a very horrible thing. It's a very sad thing. But let's understand, though, God gave his son to live for us and to die for us in a most horrible way. It just wasn't time yet. But in time, though, the Son of God, he would die, and he would die for young ones, like were put to death in Bethlehem. He would die for people who are very, very old. He would die for very evil people, like Herod the Great, and he would die for poor, miserable sinners like you and me, when the time was right. And then the Bible says in verse 17, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." That's kind of a tough thing to understand here. What I want to do in a moment is I want to read an explanation that we have right in our Lutheran Study Bible. But before I do that, though, keep in mind with Jacob. So Jacob, we think about Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. So father, son, and grandson. And then Jacob ends up having 12 children. Well, 13 children, 12 sons. And those sons become what we call the 12 tribes of Israel, because each son became a large number of people. So we have the 12 tribes of Jacob. Jacob has his name changed to Israel. So we think of them as the 12 tribes of Israel, and they become the nation of Israel. And it is through that nation that God promises to send his son, and in particular through Jacob's son, whose name is Judah. So many things are connected in there, but one of Jacob's wives, And he did have four of them. So one of his wives, that would be Rachel, she ended up dying shortly after she had given birth to one of the 12 sons. With that in mind, think about what it says here in the Lutheran Study Bible. Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, died in childbirth and was buried in Ramah. Years later, Jeremiah pictured Rachel weeping for the Israelites who were exiled to Babylon. Those Old Testament stories of suffering anticipated the suffering caused by Herod. When we think about prophecy in the Bible, sometimes it's kind of like hand in glove. So I brought one of my gloves today. So sometimes when my hands are cold, I wear a glove like this when I'm working on the computer, so I can still use it because I have my fingertips available here. But it's a perfect fit, though, and it really does keep my hands warm sometimes. So it's a perfect fit, and maybe we could think about, for example, the Bible said that Jesus would say, "I thirst." And then from the cross, what did he say? "I thirst." Oh, that's easy. We have the prophecy, we have the fulfillment, it lines up, it's a perfect fit, kind of like a hand in a glove. There are other things, though, other prophecies where we need the help of God to understand the prophecy and the fulfillment, or we need the help of someone like Dr. Giesler to help us see the prophecy and the fulfillment and how they connect together. And then going on to the next part here, now the plan is, God is saying, I have to get my son out of Egypt and back into Israel. So the Bible says, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Let's understand that God never does anything by random chance. God always has a plan. And God's not saying, oh, I think I'll try it this way, and if it doesn't work out this way, then I'll try this way, and if that doesn't work, then I'll go to plan C. God is not that way at all. God has plans. They always work. They always succeed. So God had Joseph and his family flee from Bethlehem to Egypt. That worked out. Now God's going to bring them back into Israel. That's going to work out too. Again, think about your life. Is God at work in your life? Is he speaking to you by his Spirit through his word? Is he nudging you in a certain direction? Is he telling you to go somewhere? Is he telling you to say something to someone? Is he telling you to do a particular thing? God wants us to be sensitive to his leading in our lives. And then going further here, the Bible says in verse 21, talking about Joseph, and he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. When we think about Herod, Herod was a brilliant man, but he was also a very evil man. Herod, shortly before he died, within a week of dying, he had four sons. But 5 days before he died, he decided that one of his sons was so wicked, he had that son put to death 5 days before he died. So when he died, he had three sons. So his entire territory was divided up among those three sons. So with Archelaus, he received the territory that we know of as Judea, and that's where Jerusalem is located. And then his other son, Herod Antipas, he received the area of Galilee up north. That's where Nazareth is located. And then he also had another son named Philip, and he got some particular locations as well. So Joseph, hearing about Archelaus. Now, Archelaus apparently wasn't as evil as his brother who was put to death before his father died. However, Archelaus also had a reputation of being pretty darn evil. On one occasion, with a gathering in Jerusalem, he had 3,000 people put to death. So it gives you some idea the wickedness of this particular person. So when Joseph heard about this situation, he didn't want to go back and settle in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem. Maybe that's where he wanted to go. But this is God's way, though, of getting him up to where he needs to be in Nazareth. So the Bible says, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Just a little interesting point here at the end. So as I think about that, I mean, it's so apparent that the Son of God would be born in Bethlehem, that he was born in Bethlehem, and yet Jesus is always known as a Nazarene. So I looked it up, and there are 16 times in the New Testament where Jesus is referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, but yet he was really from Bethlehem. And then there's this one occasion over in John chapter 7. So Jesus is there. They're trying to figure out who he is, and someone says, "This is the Christ." But then the Bible records that someone else said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee?" In other words, Galilee is up there in the north. Galilee would not be Bethlehem. Galilee is where Nazareth is at. So someone said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee?" And then they also said, "Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem?" So people kind of knew their Bibles, and they knew, hey, wait a minute, this guy seems like the Christ, but yet it just isn't lining up here. We know he has to be from Bethlehem. We know these scriptures are true. So apparently he can't be the one, because we know he's from up north in Nazareth. I wonder why God worked it out that way. Did God work it out that way in a sense so that people wouldn't know the identity of Jesus for quite a while until he finally completed his mission to take away our sins? A little bit hard to say, but let's know this though. God has plans. God always succeeds in his plans. And he wants us to know that we are part of his plans. So when you think about him making the world, all the things I listed earlier, all that I read in our text for today, all that Jesus did in living and dying, we're part of that. God loves us. God did everything for us. He did it for our salvation. He wants us to be with him forever. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as your plans have included us, so help our plans to always include you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.